Today on Shaping Special Hearts, we're going to talk about the idea of the buddy system, what buddies are like, and we have a buddy expert with us today in Marie Cook. Marie is the founder of Nathaniel's Hope, which is an Orlando-based nonprofit organization dedicated to sharing hope, encouragement, and assistance to kids with special needs and their families, as well as educating and equipping the community to reach out to what they call their VIP kids and those families, because they believe that an outreach of love to these VIP kids and those families should not have a price tag. All of their services provided at Nathaniel's Hope are a free gift, and Marie has traveled widely across the nation teaching and speaking, and we're going to give her a chance to let you know where she's going to be next so you can plug in and hear her. I think you're going to be blessed by our conversation today and by the story of Nathaniel. So before we begin our topic on buddies, Marie, I want to invite you to tell our listeners a little bit about how you became so familiar with the needs of parents affected by disability and special needs and those families and those children who might have those chronic illnesses. Marie, can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Absolutely. Well, Nancy, you know, rather unexpectedly, our life was changed radically about 17 years ago when God blessed our life with a little boy named Nathaniel, who when he entered our world, was completely unexpected because he was born with lots of special needs. We hadn't anticipated that happening until later in the pregnancy. We knew there was a challenge, but he came, you know, unannounced with that he would have a disability, and it completely changed our world. When he was born at 32 weeks, so he was born 8 weeks prematurely. We both almost lost our life in the delivery, and, you know, he just born with all kinds of complications and challenges, you know, could never really process food at that time. But he tried and brought us into the whole world of disability. We spent the first 3 months of his life fighting for his life in the hospital in a neonatal intensive care unit. And then when we came home, his care was pretty much 24/7, hands-on. You know, he had an undiagnosed syndrome, but when he came home, his care was everything from, you know, being a child on oxygen to having a feeding tube to being on IVs, and very different from the world that I had been a part of. I had been in youth ministry for 10 years and had seen kids with disability from a distance before, but had never been engaged, you know, as I was personally in our new life, you know, being thrust into a world that we just weren't prepared for to be in. And then unexpectedly, at the age of 4 and a half, you know, after kind of fighting for his life for 4 and a half years and doing everything we possibly could to, you know, help him, whether that was surgeries — he had 3 surgeries on his skull because he had a condition called craniosynostosis, and, you know, we had, you know, just kind of fought for him, you know, as most parents would do, to do anything they can to help their child not just survive but thrive. And unexpectedly, at the age of 4 and a half, he had a change of address from earth to heaven. And that was kind of our introduction into the whole disability community.
And, Marie, it's written so beautifully in some of your promotional information about Nathaniel's Hope. You write, Nathaniel taught us that to each life there is value and purpose. What may appear to be imperfect in the eyes of humans really is perfect in the sight of God. He taught us about the meaning of unconditional love, perseverance, and he was a great showcase of God's faithfulness. What a testament to something being to the glory of God. And you and Tim have definitely spent every moment since then processing this for God's glory. And I just commend you for that, and I know that I was touched through some people that attended your workshop this past weekend about grief and how to handle that. I heard so many people coming out of that. I heard there wasn't a dry eye in the house. So many people coming out saying they were blessed by your message. So before we go on, thank you so much for processing this in front of us to help us grow.
Thank you.
Many of our listeners — go ahead, Marie.
No, I was going to say, you know, there's lessons that these little kids teach us, you know, that, you know, our typical kids may not be able to teach us, you know, and so, you know, there's purpose in every life. And so Nathaniel's life had lots of purpose to teach us. You know, we were in the classroom for 4 and a half years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think it's still, it's amazing how God works. It's teaching me today, and it's teaching many listeners today who never had a chance to know him and be in that classroom the way that you were. One of the things you guys have done is really opened a window into the life that you were thrown into without planning. A lot of people ask me about training. There's just no way to train. What we're so concerned about training for special needs and all of that, and I kind of think about the amount of training I had before I brought my child home from the hospital.
You're like, right.
Always been kind of boot camp. It's right. On the ground, and as soon as I have it figured out, it changes, and I'm never really sure what's going on.
They don't come with a little manual, do they?
No, they don't. As neither do typical children, and that's something we have in common. But as you said, with some of these challenges that involve surgeries or feeding tubes or medical issues, that's really tough. That's really, really tough. And it can be intimidating for people. So
right.
We want to break down some stuff today for people who may be listening about a very practical way they can enter into the life of someone affected by disabilities and bless families like yours and mine. Now, many of our listeners may not be familiar with the general concept of buddies or the buddy system. They kind of look at you and glaze over. Some churches I've known to call them angels. They have an angel at their side. But many churches have found this very relational strategy of a buddy system helpful, and it's a huge part of what you guys do. Is train people for friendship. Can you give our listeners a definition of what a buddy is?
Right. A buddy is just being a friend of a child with special needs. Like within our organization, we call kids with special needs VIPs because I hate the term disabled, handicapped, because they're kids before they are a disability. So if you're not a VIP, then you're a buddy. And a buddy is a friend. It's somebody that pulls alongside, VIP kids and is there to cheer them on, to walk the journey with them, to assist where possible, but getting equipped to do life with VIP kids, families impacted by disability. A lot of times, we think it's such a, when you haven't grown up with disability or walk closely with somebody, it can be very scary. We're scared about things we don't know, When you're growing up, you're taught sometimes, if you see somebody with a disability, don't stare at them, You don't want to feel uncomfortable. And in doing that, sometimes we put up these barriers and walls. We're trying to tear them down and say, no, we need to learn how to be friends and how to get comfortable with disability, we try and equip people to be what's called a buddy, and that's a friend, and, really engage with kids at a personal level, trying to look beyond their disability and seeing them as a person first, rather than just a disability. They're a person who happens to have some special needs or characteristics that go along with that they need to learn how to work with, but they're kids first,
Right. Absolutely. My own son, very recently this winter, we were talking about him trying to work on his speech and speaking to people and not appearing unfriendly. And in the midst of the conversation, Noah said, Mom, I know I have this thing called autism. He said, but you think also maybe I could just be shy? Because I think, too, I'm just shy. Oh. And I said, buddy, you completely get to have your own personhood.
Yeah,
absolutely. You can just be shy. We let other kids just be shy. Not everything has to be about this. And it was a reminder for me that he's got a personality. And he gets to have that. And he gets to have interests and things that he likes. And so many people, as you so aptly said, can miss that in the light of just trying to deal with his diagnosis or symptoms or all of those things. And they miss the beautiful person that's there, that's been created in the image of God. And that's one of the things I like so much about your approach is that you're just making relationships. And I think we all need help with that. Go ahead.
It's really just getting over your fear. I mean, it's just fear that we have. Fear is what keeps us from engaging with somebody who, you know, might have some differences. And we tend to focus on what the differences are instead of the things that draw us together, you know, that the things that we have more in common, you know. But if we can, you know, look at a person, whether it's a child or an adult, and we can get to know them and understand who they are, it's a lot easier. You know, we're not afraid of things that we know about, you know. So if we learn that a child may have autism, well, okay, it's a child with autism. We just need to learn about this child as a person, and learning a little bit of maybe about what the characteristics that a disability might bring will help us to understand, you know, how to relate with these kids and how to how we can best help them to reach their potential, you know, to maximize their abilities. I always think, I don't want to look at their disability. I want to look at their abilities, and I want to maximize those abilities, you know, and their strengths that they have. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses, but I don't know. I think sometimes we look at what people cannot do instead of what they can do and build on that, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And that's where you can just diffuse that intimidation factor. Let's not base this on fear. Let's base this on mutual love and someone else being an image bearer of God just like I am. With their own quirks just like I have. And I just love this approach. I think it is so useful and effective. It can really be a game changer. And I recommend it so many times in speaking with churches. Setting up the idea of buddies seems very foreign and difficult for people. And before we get into some of exactly what that looks like and what you guys are doing at Nathaniel's Hope, in talking to some people, your wonderful assistant that was there with you this past weekend at the conference we were at, she reported to me about being a buddy and how it was life-changing for her and how she began to just have a completely different perspective. Do you have any stories about people who have come through these trainings and developed buddy relationships, various places, that report a life or change or a perspective change?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting because we have seen people from all walks of life become buddies to be trained. Like, you know, a lot of times people think, well, I don't have a special ed degree, or I'm not a therapist, or I'm not a medical person, therefore I can't engage with a child with a disability, you know. But we have seen, like, top-level executives, senior citizens, down in South Florida, we have about 70 senior citizens that have trained to be buddies to work with kids with special needs, you know. We've seen teenagers, you know, we've seen all people from all different walks of life, you know, engage with them and to see the transformation that takes place. You know, I think about a gentleman by the name of John who has never been married, never has had kids, yet engaged, you know, got equipped to be a buddy and then ended up, you know, being a buddy to a child, but then ended up running, starting a program, a respite program, you know, leading that effort, you know, and completely changed, you know, doing something that they never thought they could do, never thought that God would call them to do. Another couple, George and Ola, they, you know, saw the need. They saw a young family that had you know, a child with disability, and this child had constant seizures, and they looked in and said, you know, we've never worked with kids with special needs before, but we believe that we're called to pull alongside this family and to cheer them on and to help them. And so they trained to be a buddy through our respite program and got trained to do that. And, you know, they would serve once a month, but then they would start to call this family up and say, you know, on a Friday night, we want to come over to your house and we want to watch your children so that you can go out and be a married couple and you can work on your relationship together, you know. And then they went a step further and said, no, we want to be sure that you can go to church on Sunday morning, so we're going to arrange your care on Sunday morning to make sure that you can go in and worship on Sunday, you know. So here's an average couple who had never had any opportunity to or had ever worked with kids with special needs before, and God just tugged on their heart and they said, you know, God, here I am, you know, I want to pull alongside, I want to be a buddy, I don't know what I'm doing, but would you help equip me, I want to be your hands and feet, you know, to just touch this family, to pull alongside this family. And that's really what buddies do. They pull alongside families. You know, we say we want to cheer on our VIP friends and help them cross the finish line. We all want to get to the finish line, you know, but we all need, you know, we need the body of Christ to work together, you know, to make that happen.
Absolutely. I've had so many people come alongside us, either in small respite, as I'm out of town or traveling, they'll come alongside us and help me in that way be able to work a little bit and travel. And they come back and they say, he's really a neat person. He's really a neat person. And in some ways I think it's because they have not thinking so much clinically. They have been completely opened up just to who he is. And find it so much less intimidating. And that's why I'm so excited about that approach, about your approach and the equipping that you do, because if we can do that, all of a sudden, not only can respite be provided for families where it might not have been available earlier, but in a church setting with a buddy who is willing to go alongside someone during Sunday school as a part of worship service, as a part of Vacation Bible School, maybe on a outing or a trip, an entire world is opened up. How exciting is that? I mean, so much is not accessible for Noah and I as a part of large group worship without me being his buddy, and that's fantastic. But it's such a blessing to us, and he's a blessing to other people when it's someone besides me.
Yes, and that's the thing to talk about as well is that, you know, we think this is what we're going to do for the kids. We're going to train to be buddies for the kids, and we're going to do this for them. But, oh, my goodness, these kids have a ministry back to us, you know, because, you know, there's so many lessons that they can teach us, you know, and can reflect the character of God in different ways, you know. I mean, I think kids with autism can show the brilliance of God, you know. I mean, some of these kids, you know, that may are on the spectrum that they have Asperger's, they're absolutely brilliant, you know. You see kids with Down syndrome that I think can really show the love of God, you know, of how these kids want to embrace you. But I think there's something we can learn through every child, you know. There's something they want to bring to us, and I think about how my life is so much more enriched, not just because of my son Nathaniel that I had, but about all these, you know, special kids that he's brought into my life on this journey, you know, and there's things he wants to teach. I guarantee you there's things that my fully able daughters that are now 19 and 21 could never teach me about the character of God that my son Nathaniel was able to teach me, you know. And so there's a place, and so we got to remember that God creates these kids with purpose. It's not just what we can do for them, but it's like what can they do for us and what can they teach us.
And the body is actually, the body of Christ is actually incomplete without that piece, without that voice.
And it's like you're cutting off an elbow, right? You're cutting off a hand, you're cutting off a foot. You're cutting something off if you don't allow, be inclusive, you know, with these kids in our midst.
Absolutely. And what a great way to start by just saying, let's be friends. Okay, so let's talk about training. A lot of times I prefer to call it maybe even orientation. I joke and tell people, you know, when I train people to work with typical children when I was a children's minister, no one left with the idea that they were going to be completely prepared for every eventuality that might happen with that kid. But sometimes when we train in this context, people have the feeling that we're going to be able to equip them for every single day. That just might happen. And I'm not equipped with typical people that way, much less anyone else. But sometimes that makes people feel safer thinking that. And that's why children's ministry professionals and adult ministry professionals shy away, because they don't know how to provide the training. And I know you have an incredible system through Nathaniel's Hope called BLTs, and I want to unpack that in just a minute. But I was wondering, outside that, before we get into that, what do you consider as vital elements to a buddy system training?
Right. Well, you know, I think you just touched on it a second ago, Vanzi. Every child is unique, you know. And so I always say, like, when we're training you, how do you work with kids with special needs? You've got to take it at a 50,000-foot level, because every child is unique. So you can kind of, you know, get people comfortable with disability, but then you've got to really dial into what their specific unique needs are in their lives. But, you know, I think, first of all, getting people comfortable with disability and help them overcome their own fears. You know, then think about when we grew up, you know, as I said earlier, you know, we're told not to stare at people with disabilities, or sometimes, you know, we're afraid of the things we don't know, or we feel guilty, you know, like why is it not me? You know, why do I have challenges in my life like this? Or we don't know what to do, so we don't do anything. So we have to get people comfortable with disability. And so we always like to do some kind of disability sensitivity training, just talking about what is disability, you know, and understanding maybe some, you know, different types of disability that are out there, whether it's physical disabilities or cognitive or life-threatening or just the different types of things that might be out there, and kind of, you know, help people understand this is a really, you know, broad spectrum, and there's a lot of different unique challenges, and you know, God was very creative when he made all of us. And you know, I think it's a good idea to immerse yourself in a community, which you can do during respite care, but if you don't have opportunity to do it through respite care, go on a walk, you know, go on an autism walk or a Down syndrome walk or someplace, or go to a Special Olympics event and volunteer and just put yourself around people with disabilities, you know, and just, you know, get comfortable, you know, in that environment, you know, and look at the uniqueness of every child. I think equipping people with some disability etiquette, you know, sometimes people don't know, well, what happens if you go put your hand out to shake somebody's hand and then you realize that they are missing their arm, you know? Like, right. What do you do? It's just some awkward things like that. Or if you're not sure somebody's going to be able to answer you, do you still talk to them, or how do you handle that? So I think, you know, just taking people through some simple steps about, okay, let's talk about some of these situations that you may encounter, and how do you handle them, you know, and you know, just give them some little pointers on how to respond, you know. I think helping them understand the needs of the family is huge, because I think when you understand what the need is, you're willing to go the extra mile to do whatever it takes to touch these families. You know, when you really, you know, before you had a child with special needs, or I had, you know, our son Nathaniel, I mean, I was a youth pastor for 10 years. I would see kids with disabilities on Sunday morning. I'd high five them, I'd hug them, and I'd tap myself on the shoulder and say, "Good job, Marie, you've reached out." You know, that right. Was until I had my son, you know, and it's like, that was like, God, I'm so sorry. I was so shallow. I didn't understand, you know. But after having lived that life for 4.5 years and understanding the trials and the challenges and how it impacts not only, you know, my ability as a caregiver, but how it impacts the siblings, and how siblings can't go to church sometimes because, you know, the caregivers are so involved with caring for the child that, you know, it's just not even possible to make that provision. Or if you have a child with special needs, you know, how do I even attend church? Or the marital challenges that are out there. But when you really begin to understand just some of the basic needs of the family, then I think people are more apt to say, okay, count me in, I want to help, what can I do? And you give them a way to help, I think that they, you know, will help. But I think, you know, helping them understand, you know, taking them through the day of a life of a family impacted by disability, which, by the way, looks different for everybody, but, you know, it's a lot more involved. Stress factors can be 2 to 3 times higher. You know, the mm-hmm. Financial needs are greater, all those things, you know. And then I think people have to just feel equipped, you know, in safety and feeling like they're going to be able to do a good job in keeping a child safe and in understanding what are boundaries that we need to put up if we're working with kids, you know. So I think the more that we can just equip people in this way, I think the more they're going to be comfortable. But it really comes down to getting to know the child, you know, looking at them as an individual and understanding who that child is, how do they learn, what is the best way to communicate with them, how do they communicate back to you, what are things they enjoy, you know, but just looking at that person, you know, that child is a person, a real person.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have been blessed by so many people who didn't know. And I know they didn't know, because they offered to take Noah to do things that if they had really known, they probably would not have. You know, they thought, sure, I'll try that, you know. I especially had a dear friend at church who I think I've mentioned on the show before, who learned that Noah wanted to go fishing, just had an interest in fishing, really, really wanted to fish. And I thought, oh, my goodness, well, you're gonna, you know, are you gonna fish from the boat or are you gonna be on a bank? Are you gonna, I mean, he can't cast, don't stay anywhere near him, he's gonna hook somebody, you know, and I had 10 things that were gonna go wrong. And this guy who had no experience, he was, you know, a contractor, hadn't worked in special needs ministry, just said, I'll take him fishing. I do know how to fish. I think I can handle it. And Noah was intent that he was gonna bait his own hook. And I thought, oh no. You know, I mean, he just knew that because that was part of fishing and he was going to do that. And he has very poor fine motor skills. I was terrified about what would happen. Would it be a failure? And would that man feel like a failure? And he was like, don't worry. He kept sending me text messages from the site where they were fishing, and I couldn't. They told me I couldn't go. Because Noah said, I'm going to be with my friend. You can't go. Because he wants friendships. He wants relationships. So I just stayed home and worried all morning, you know, about the fishing. And they kept sending me pictures of him catching fish and all these great things that were happening. And the very next week, and I mean, Noah just had a tremendous day. The very next week, Noah learned to tie his shoes.
Wow.
Which is something I had been working on for 8 years. And I asked him, I was like, was he able to bait that hook? And he goes, oh, yeah, he was able to bait that hook. I said, well, how'd that happen? I mean, he can't tie. He can't loop. He can't do any of those things. He goes, well, I'm poised to help Noah. He goes, see, Noah's left-handed. And so am I.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm left-handed. I could stand behind him and just show him how to tie something. So that man actually had skills I don't have.
Oh, wow.
Just because he was willing. You know, Marie, and those are the kind of things. Sometimes it's not, you know, listeners, sometimes it's not a very complicated skill you would offer. Sometimes it's the simplest thing in the world.
Right.
That's what you've seen.
Yeah, it's hard to love. It's loving. It's loving. It's just loving kids. It's loving people. You know, it's being Jesus with skin on to people. You know.
Oh, great! What a great thing. Well, tell us a little bit about Nathaniel's Hope and some of the events and services that you provide. There are so many wonderful things that you guys do. I want to expose our listeners to your ministry.
Oh, thanks, Nancy. Well, you know, everything that we do is free for families impacted by disability. So we don't, you know, charge families anything, and we want to do things that are going to encourage them. You know, we want to cheer them on their journey, and then we want to pull people along to join us on that process of cheering them on and helping, assisting them on the way and bringing really the hope of Christ. So we have something called a VIP birthday club, you know, for our VIP kids. And we actually have over 8,000 kids in the birthday club from pretty much every state. I think we're in 50 states now and a few countries. And we send cards on the children's birthday and, you know, try and remember kids that sometimes get forgotten. And we send them a little bear when they initially join the birthday club. And so that's just our way of kind of connecting them. And then when we start a program, do we know of things in certain areas? You know, we can also then let them know of something exciting that might be going on in an area. But then we also have something called the Hall of Hope. And, you know, sadly, sometimes our kids graduate to heaven early. We're not sad because they're in heaven, but we're sad because they're not with us anymore. But we have a place online at our website at nathanielshope.org where families can post their child's picture and tell their story about their VIP, and then we send cards on what would be the child's birthday and their homegoing date. So these are things that anybody, if you know of anybody that has a special needs child, you can just tell them about it. They can go to our website and register for free to be a part of those programs anywhere. We do, at Christmas time, we do a program called Caroling for Kids where we go into children's hospitals. Our son's first Christmas, we ended up in a hospital Christmas morning and had the pity party. We didn't want to be there like anybody else. We didn't want to be there on a holiday. And we said, if we're not there next year, let's do something to make a difference. So as a result, we started this program where we just brought, you know, from our church about 40 people the following Christmas to just walk down the hallways and carol and bring cookies and candy canes and little stuffed animals. It really wasn't what we gave them. It was our presence that made the difference. And so, you know, Nathaniel used to do that with us while he was with us. Since he's not here anymore, we still go on. And last year we had over 500 people go into 14 different hospitals and just bring the joy and hope of Christmas on Christmas Day in hospitals. So that's something that, you know, anybody can do anywhere. We can help get teams started to make that happen. But locally in Orlando, we started something called Nathaniel's Toy Shop where we have a tremendous partnership with Walgreens where we open up a toy shop. We get a donated facility. We set up a store, literally a store, and families can come and they can shop for toys for their VIP kids and their siblings. And we had over 1,000 families come through this last Christmas, and we were able to give them personal shoppers, babysit their kids. We tried to pray with every family that came through, feed them, and that was pretty amazing. But that's a little bit of the local level we do here in Orlando. A little bit at more of a national level, we have a festival we do called Make Them Smile. We can't do a birthday party for a son anymore, so we created a festival that celebrates kids with special needs. It's always the first Saturday of June, and it's just a festival where the Orlando community comes together and says, we recognize that there is purpose and value in every life, and we're gathering together. We want families to come out of isolation, and this is the day that we're going to celebrate VIP kids of all types, of all ages, and we have a big celebration in downtown Orlando. We shut down some streets. We have about 100 exhibitors that serve the special needs community on display, about 150 different activities we do. We partner VIP kids and buddies, people from the community that want to come and be friends, and they walk around the lake together, do all these things. So that's our annual festival we do. Our program that we're really trying to equip churches for is called Buddy Break, and that's a free respite care program where we teach churches to take care of kids for a few hours to give caregivers a break. And the cool thing about this is it engages the body of Christ to get involved. It gives them a tool and a way to kind of get out of their comfort zone and say, I want to do something. I don't know what to do, but here's an opportunity. So we work with churches, and the neat thing about a respite care program is, it's a great outreach, a missions outreach to the community. It's great socialization for the kids. It gives caregivers a break, which is like the number one need that families have that have kids with special needs, to get a break. So forget about the potluck, about getting the families to the potluck. This would be a much more effective ministry that a church can do for a family. But I think the great thing is it trains volunteers. You know, it gets people comfortable with disability, because it's kind of a science lab where kids can, you can fail, I can say, you can't get that child with autism to stop running. Okay, this is how we're going to learn how to work with them. This is how we're going to learn how to communicate with them. Yeah, it's a lot harder to do that on a Sunday morning than it is, during a respite event. So,
but if you consider that research for pairing that child up with a buddy, when they came back on Sunday morning after they've done that several times,
absolutely. So now you can go deeper with them, and they've made the relationship, so now this doesn't look like a child with a disability anymore, but it's actually a face. And you're learning about the family, and you're engaging with the family, So it is a great way to connect families. So we kind of, it's our hope, if God's in this, that we're trying to build respite hubs, around the nation where we have communities providing respite care. So, for instance, in Central Florida here, where we're based out of, we have like 25 churches that do Buddy Break every month. So families can have respite options every week. So they can go, if they need a break every Friday or Saturday, they can just make a reservation, attend. They don't have to attend the church where the program is being done, but we're getting the community to work together to help this community. And we have an online database, so these families are all connected. They don't have to keep registering. We're trying to make it easy for them to do that. But we've expanded to 16 states now. So we actually had a family move from Orlando to Tennessee, and they could start using Buddy Break in Tennessee without missing a jump, just kind of being real involved. So we see respite as being a great way to engage people to be buddies and to learn how to be good friends, to VIP kids.
Absolutely. And now, Marie, if there were a church that were listening and that said, wow, we just don't know if we're ready to start respite, is there a way for them to contact you and find a respite they might could partner with near them?
Absolutely. They could contact us at nathanielshope.org. And, the thing about a respite care program, sometimes people think, that's such a big, scary thing. You could do it with 5 kids, or you could do it with 100 kids. You don't have to have the monster program. but it's a way for you to care for the people in your congregation. And it's not as difficult as people may think it is, you know, but sometimes churches, you know, can work together to do a program together, or it can be a smaller program, or somebody can go volunteer at a program to learn about how to, you know, be a buddy and be comfortable with that. But, you know, it's just learning about how to care for this community, and this is such a great way to learn how to be a great caregiver and how to be more inclusive and welcoming, you know, kids with special needs into your churches.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, tell us about the BLT program. So I'm really,
sure,
really interested about that.
Yeah, so BLT is in our, we have all these acronyms that we do.
Well, why not?
Yeah, why not? So so BLT is not a sandwich that you eat, but it's an acronym for basic leadership training. And so, like, if a church wanted to start a buddy break program, we just created a whole, you know, easy way for them. We could take people who know nothing about disability and get them equipped to start a respite program. We just, you know, I tried to think about what was it like when, before I ever had my son Nathaniel, and I was pulled into this world, and when I was in ministry and had all the other challenges of running my volunteers and all the other programs, and, you know, I would have really wanted to do something like this but didn't even know where to start. You know, we tried to package something together to make it easy to say, okay, you don't know what you're doing, great, come on, we'll help you, you know, help you get started. So we kind of do a 7-hour training, A to Z, on how to do a respite program and give everything that is needed for, you know, starting the program, and don't really have to think about anything but just, you know, be available to learn. And so we train the trainer, and then they go on. We give a video and stuff for them to train their leaders afterwards. So so BLT, we're trying to do one a month in different places around the U.S. So, you know, we kind of do every other one in Orlando because Orlando's where we're based out of, but also everybody likes to come to Orlando. It's a good way to – it's a good excuse to come down and come to Disney World, you know. But in May we'll be in Chicago, and then we'll be back in Orlando. Then we're planning to be out in Houston, and back in Orlando. Then we'll be out in Richmond, Virginia. So we try and kind of go to different places that people can get to easier. But, you know, Orlando's always a great place to come.
Well, absolutely. Are those locations listed at your website of where you're going to be?
Yes. I mean, I'm not sure. We'll make sure it's updated, that the actual dates are updated. But, yes, you can always check on that on our website at nathanielshope.org.
That's fantastic. And I'm going to let you give out all of your contact information and ways people can connect with your ministry a little bit later in the show so we can get all that done. So if you guys didn't get that, don't worry. We're going to give that information out one more time. Well, Marie, because we never know who is listening to the show, whether it's a ministry leader, whether it is a mom or a friend or a leadership in the church listening to the show, we always try to ask a question that applies from the church standpoint. So here's my question. What is it that you wish every pastor, if there's a pastor listening, what is it that you wish every pastor knew about the benefits not only of the buddy system in the church and in ministry, but also your buddy break program?
Mm-hmm. I just think, I always say, if, and maybe this is my interpretation, but I always feel like if Jesus were here on earth, I think he would give attention to this community. He would focus his attention on this community. He hung around people with disabilities. He ministered to them. And I think that anything that's close to the heart of Jesus, we should be paying attention to, and you know, reaching out to this community. You know, you may have you know, thought about the scripture before, but in the book of Luke, you know, it talks about when we're going to have a party, when we're going to invite people to dinner, who are we going to invite, you know, who's going to be on our list, when we open up our doors on Sunday morning at church. You know, we may think about, gosh, if I could just get this prominent person in, or this influential person in, or if so-and-so could come, wouldn't that be so neat, you know. But the Bible is so intentional about saying, go out and find the lame, the maimed, the blind, and the crippled. Like, that's a mandate for us, that we are not just to, you know, be like, well, reactive to it. You know, if somebody comes, okay, let's try and figure out what are we going to do, how are we going to make them fit. But we're to be intentional to be welcoming to this community, you know. And I know that typically until your life is impacted by disability in some way, it's very difficult to understand and not be afraid of this community or understand how much this community is in isolation and needs the body of Christ to come forward. You know, it is a people group that needs to have the hope of Christ, you know, and needs people to wrap their arms around them and close to the heart of Jesus. And, you know, and I would just want to say, you know, we need to be welcoming. We need to figure out how to make our churches welcoming and being intentional. Our parents have to fight for everything. They have to fight the school system. They have to fight insurance companies. They have to fight, you know, for resources that they get. You know, they're oftentimes struggling. Their finances are strained. You know, relationally, they're tired. You know, they should not have to come and fight the local church to be welcomed in or to say, you know, we have a place here. Our churches should have welcoming arms to say, you know, we may not have all the answers. We may not understand how to take care of your family, but we're willing to learn, and we're here to learn together, you know, and just, you know, being willing to do that. You know, I wish I could, I have the ear of every pastor in America to tell them that, you know, and then say, we can help you do that. You don't have to be afraid.
Absolutely. It's a right mission field, like you said.
It's a right mission field.
As far as a people group, if you will look at them as a people group, one of the most unchurched people groups in our nation.
It is. I think there's like over 50 million people with disabilities in our, you know, and they're, I think only 10%. I heard statistics, only 10% attend church. You know, I think somewhere between 20 and 30 million of those people are youth age. It's like, wow, what a community! Like, I know in our, you know, I keep going back to Orlando, but in Central Florida here, in our school system, we have like 34,000 kids with special needs in our school system. If you add one sibling to that, and maybe you know, one parent because of, you know, the high number that's out there of divorce rate. There's a lot of single parent families. You know, it's hard to keep marriages together because of everything that pulls on these near families, you know. But if we look at that number, we have a community just in my little community here of over 100,000 people that our Central Florida churches have an opportunity to reach, you know, with these very unique needs. And so if you just think about, look in your community and find out how many kids with disabilities are out there. And, you know, sometimes pastors will say, well, they're not in my church, so therefore I'm not reaching them. Well, you know what, they're not in your church because they don't know that they're welcome in your church. You know, build it and they will come. One out of 10 kids under the age of 14 has a disability. And if you look around your church and they're not there, then you have to ask yourself the question, why are they not there? You know, because they're out there, and statistics would show that they should be in our churches.
Absolutely. They do exist. They are there. I heard a speaker at the conference you and I were at last weekend say, mm-hmm. you know, into that, people say, well, that's not true of my community. It's not 1 in 5 or 1 in 10. That must be the town next door. But we just don't have that. And you just said, well, they're just not here. They are. And she continued at that workshop I was at to talk about the sphere of influences that especially teens have. You know, they have their immediate family, and then they have the group of friends that they hang out with, and then they have their after-school interest, and then they have, and then she said, now, let's picture a child with a disability. They have their immediate family. They don't have a sphere of friends. They don't go to youth group. They're not a part of lacrosse and soccer or all of the after-school clubs and all of that kind of stuff. Isolation, which you mentioned, is a mighty, mighty factor in all of this. So don't feel not equipped. Marie can help. The Daniel Coast is here.
Well, my son, and there's other people out there that can help as well, but we just
absolutely, absolutely, which goes right into our next question. I know you're familiar with lots of resources that minister to families at all stages of their journey, and I'm so glad you mentioned the sibling and the parents because this is a whole family ministry.
It is.
And a lot of times we don't realize that if we don't capture and serve and include the person with a disability, we also are missing out on 3 or 4 other people
right.
that also cannot attend church. But can you summarize a few of your favorite favorite resources for ministers who may be listening or looking for something to pass along to a family, something that may be a good fit for a church.
Sure. Well, you know, I think, you know, one of my heroes is Johnny Erickson Tata. She's like one of my heroes. If you've never read her story or gone to her website, you know, Johnny and Friends, just great lady who, you know, went through an accident at an early age and has, you know, lived with a disability her whole life, and nothing stops this lady. You know, she's written some of the most inspirational things, but they have a book that Johnny and Friends puts out called Special Needs Smart Pages. I think that's one of the best resources for children's ministry that I've seen that's out there. I always like to recommend that, and she has lots of different books and things on their website. You know, as far as in the classroom, Barb Newman from CLC Network has written all kinds of great, you know, really specific, you know, like autism in the church and just very specific in the classroom type things. And I would encourage, you know, to take a look at that. I think, you know, understanding sometimes what families go through, same life, different both. You know, Stephanie Hubach, she's got a great book out there. Emily Colston has a book called Dancing with Max that are great books. I just received a book yesterday from Pure Ministries from David Glover, and I'm sorry if I forgot the name of the book, Vangie.
Yes, David has been on the show, and I am honored and privileged to get a chance to work with David. And his book is called A Better Way.
A Better Way, that's what it was, I'm sorry.
where least is most, and it is a wonderful resource for the church, too.
Yes, so I'm looking forward to reading that. You know, Key Ministry puts out a great conference, Inclusion Fusion, web-based, you know, with all kinds of education and training on working with folks with disabilities, so I would encourage that. INCM, you know, I'm so thrilled with, that's a Children's Pastors Conference. I'm so thrilled with how they've given an emphasis to equipping, you know, children's workers and pastors in special needs ministry. And so that's always, there's always an East and West Coast conference, as well as Johnny and Friends has an East and West conference as well. So these are just some of, you know, the ones that I would really say these are great resources to look at. We do have on our website, we have a resource area that is available, and we're always adding things on there as people tell us. You know, here's a great resource. We try and put it up there for people to know what's out there.
Absolutely. So you guys are doing some of that research. So ministers, if you're listening and you're looking for a specific area, or you know, don't drink from a fire hydrant. Take it in small pieces. You know, Marie and her website can help you a little bit. Learn a little bit at a time. Equip yourself a little bit at a time. God will give you what you need when you need it.
Yes, and I forgot to mention Heart Shapers. Wow, what a gem that is, the curriculum. You know, I love that. I just saw you guys came out, Angie, that you write with for VBS, and I'm so excited to see that, and as well just helping churches, you know, have that curriculum for their children's ministry program. I thank Standard Publishing for investing in that, you know, for doing that and for your personal investment in writing all this curriculum.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to get to partner with someone who says our goal is really coming alongside the church. And that's in my heart, and I know is yours as well. When I was a children's minister, I felt like I didn't have the resources. And before Noah was born, I would say, we just don't have the resources for that. And after we had him, I had to learn what those resources were. But when I still hear children's ministers say that they're under-resourced, I understand. And but children's ministers hear me, and senior ministers hear me. There are a lot of people that are providing resources and equipping for this. So that day is over. We are now able to do this. We really are able. So, Marie, tell us about some other projects that you're working on that you might want our listeners to know about.
Yeah, well, you know, I mentioned earlier our Make 'em Smile Festival is going to be coming up the first Saturday of June, June 7th, and would love anybody who wanted an excuse to come to Orlando to to be able to come down and join us. It's a fun morning. It's a celebration. We started 12 years ago, just kind of a grassroots effort. It was a way to commemorate and remember our son's birthday. And we had about 600 people. Last year, we had over 20,000 people in downtown Orlando, over 2,200
wow.
kids with special needs. And it, honestly, it has just become a great, just a great festival to celebrate life and to celebrate God's unique kids and the time, you know, again, where families can come out of, you know, the corner, come out of their darkness, come out of their separation, and, and we're pulling them out and saying, this day's for you. We're going to celebrate your kids, you know, and they don't have to apologize, you know, about their children's behavior sometimes, you know, that might, you know, just have awkward moments or like that. This is all about our VIP kids, and we're so excited about that. We'll have about 40 characters out there, you know, from different theme parks and all. We have free food. Everything is free for families. We even have valet parking. We have a company that comes in and valet parks
oh.
all of our special needs families, their cars, you know. But we just really try and make this such a special day. We have Christian artists that come out, and it's just a real day of celebration. So that's coming up the first Saturday of June. And so we'd love to have anybody come down and have an excuse to come to Orlando, you know, to be a part of the festival. So we're real excited about that. And we hope to sometime in the future be able to move that event to other places around the nation to just be able to get other celebrations going on in other communities like that. So we're real excited about that. And, of course, you know, we're excited about just helping churches develop buddies and be able to bring respite care, you know, using that as a tool to, you know, to start their special needs ministry or to expand it. But we have this, you know, my husband says BHAG. I don't know if you've ever had a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal. So it's called BHAG. But we, you know, we, with God's grace, we hope to partner with 1,000 churches by 2020 around the nation and, you know, connect them to families impacted by disability and, you know, really have a desire to see, I mean, as you, I'm sure, see every church in America do something, you know. Even if you can't do a respite program, do something. Care for the kids that are in your community. You know, care for the kids. If you have one child and you're like, okay, I can't start a respite program. I'm not going to do it. It's not really about establishing a program. It's about caring, looking at that individual and caring for that child and caring for the family connected with that child. You know, and if that's all you do, you're a great success because you're doing what Jesus, what would be, you know, important to his heart to do.